This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. George W. Bush was absent for long periods of his final 2 years of National Guard duty, according to new records cited by the White House in an effort to refute accusations he shirked Vietnam War-era military obligations. The records, some of which had been previously released, were not fully legible and show long gaps in Bush's Guard service from May through late October 1972 and mid-January through early April 1973. The records allude that Bush earned service points and was paid for duty in late October and November of 1972, but officials still could not specify which dates he served in Alabama. They also could not explain the huge gap in 1973. An evaluation report from superiors in Texas said Bush had not been observed from April 1972 to May 1973. The heaviest guard service in his last 2 years came in July of 1973, when he was paid for 19 days. Conservative television news anchor Bill O'Reilly said on Tuesday he was now skeptical about the Bush administration and apologized to viewers for supporting pre-war claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The anchor on Fox News said he was sorry he gave the United States government the benefit of the doubt that former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's weapons program posed an imminent threat, which was the main reason cited for going to war. "I was wrong. I am not pleased about it at all, and I think all Americans should be concerned about this," O'Reilly said in an interview with the ABC Network. Vice President Dick Cheney's political future was at stake yesterday in Washington, where a grand jury investigation was questioning administration officials about his office's role in leaking the name of a CIA operative for political motives. The inquiry has already questioned the president's spokesman and one of his media advisors over the identification of Valerie Plame, which is developing into one of the administration's main headaches in an election year. Informed sources said last night that three of the five officials who are the real targets of the probe work or worked for Mr. Cheney. Until recently, George W. Bush has insisted that Mr. Cheney would be his vice presidential candidate in the November elections, despite his history of heart trouble. More after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 save the music, because music education equals brain power.
An Australian man attacked by a small shark swam 300 meters, walked to his car, and drove to a local surf club to get help while the shark was still attached to his leg. The Wobbegong, or so-called carpet shark, attacked 22-year-old Luke Trusselglavik yesterday as he was snorkeling on a reef off Caves Beach south of Newcastle. "Once I got onto shore, a couple of people tried to help me, but I could not remove it. It was stuck there," he said. So he got into his car and drove to the clubhouse, where two lifeguards removed the creature. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Michael Powell is the kind of guy who would have rooted for Goliath over David. In fact, if Powell's performance as head of the Federal Communications Commission is any indicator, he would have even given the slingshot to the giant. Throughout his tenure at the FCC, Powell has pushed to unregulate the media giant's use of our public airwaves and to eliminate any restrictions on how much of our nation's media any one conglomerate can control. Already, only five of these conglomerates, Disney, Viacom, GE, Time Warner, and News Corp, control the five largest TV networks, 70% of the primetime television market, most cable channels, and extensive holdings in radio, publishing, movies, records, and the Internet. But that's not enough for Powell and the Bush White House. Last June, they pushed through the FCC a plan that essentially would take the lid off of media ownership rules. In your city, for example, one conglomerate could own 3 television stations, the local newspaper, and as many as 8 radio stations. In my state of Texas, the rules would allow any 2 conglomerates to take over nearly half of the state's commercial TV stations, all of the major newspapers, and 40% of the radio stations. With such ownership comes control of the news, information, and cultural expressions that we get. It's not a matter of the fox being in the hen house. The fox would own the hen house. That's why more than 2 million Americans sent letters and emails to protest the FCC's rules, and why several groups have obtained a court injunction to stop the rules from taking effect until court review. Powell's FCC is now holding a series of hokey hearings around the country to let people vent. But the only real change we're going to get will be through the courts, Congress, and the presidential race. It's not only our public airwaves that are at risk, but democracy itself. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get information and fight back, call Common Cause, 202-833-1200.
Yes, yes. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need is a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Good afternoon or good morning. I guess it depends where you're at. I am not Tom Hartman. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, who is, he's in transit today. So he's going to be back with everybody tomorrow. In the meantime, you have your substitute teacher talking to you right now from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone, the one that's spouts off about the blood, sweat, and tears of the working woman and man, and we're damned proud to do it, let me tell you. Anyway, the Tom Hartman Show is brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, that's 1-800-511-6227, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. We've got a pretty open show today. Got a lot of things to get through. I got a lot of crap here to get through, but we're gonna work on it, see what we can do. If you want to take part in the program, easy enough to do. Get your grubby little fingers to the phone, dial 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. And, I gotta love our government. We'll get to this in a moment here. Good news, bad news for John Kerry. He took 2 more states, has a solid lead in Wisconsin, but there's a but there. We'll get to that. Some other stuff we want to get to. I have this thing called But They Said file, and I want to get to my But They Said file. The Bush I Have a Lie cover-up commission, temporary reprieve from Gestapo-like subpoenas in Iowa. A conversation with somebody supposedly knowledgeable about United States and youth and politics and a whole slew of other stuff. And let's start off with John Kerry here before we actually get to the primaries and stuff from yesterday. What makes it easy for me to bring this up is, thankfully, as we sit here and speak, and we're going to be dealing with issues like free speech, democracy, jobs, the environment, honesty and trust in government, you know, little minor details. These are things that really just don't count a whole lot nowadays in our grand United States. Because right now, over, I guess, down in Washington, D.C., they're talking about the important things in life, and I am so grateful they are, because that means I get to talk about it. And we are referring to Janet Jackson's right boob. That's right. The last time you had me here as a substitute teacher, we were talking about it, and guess what? We're still talking about it. And no, it's not because I'm fixated on it. It's because, well, you know, I mean, this is what Republicans fixate on, you know? I guess they're sitting over Powell and a bunch of other pointy-headed, elitist, angry conservatives are on the over at the Senate and the House talking about how horrible it was. Jeez. Let me see. What did Powell say? A new low for primetime television. No. No, actually, the lowest moment I've seen for primetime television was Bush's state of his campaign speech not too long ago given on the given to the joint House and Senate. That, Mr. Powell, was not only a new low when Bush got up there and gave that stupid campaign speech, but the fact that a bunch of idiots sat there or stood up and flapped their hands like walruses. You know, that was obscene. Now, why don't you go get him out of the way? Okay, good news, bad news for Kerry. Let me get the bad news out of the way first, okay? And it has to do with Janet Jackson's right boob. It really does. Because it turns out John Kerry, now, oh, boy, this is, man, I don't know. This is really going to shake up the whole political scene. This is, so sit down, take a deep breath, and just relax for a moment, because I got to tell you something, folks, and I'm looking at my trusty, dusty National Enquirer here, and on the front page with Friends Tragedy, Matt Perry relapses into drug and booze nightmare, Martha drinking, crying, and binge eating, we have another big story, John Kerry's secret sex life exposed. Actually, they don't say sex life, they say secret life. Affairs with stars, drug abuse, and plastic surgery. Ooh, you know, that's right. All right, yeah, plastic surgery, that's no big deal. Smoked a little pot, that's no big deal. But John Kerry, ladies and gentlemen, had sex. I am sorry to say that. John Kerry has had sex in his lifetime. And apparently we are now going to have a full frontal, not a half frontal, not a Janet Jackson move. We are going to have a full frontal assault on Mr. Kerry for having sex because we know since the Super Bowl halftime show, everything has changed in this world. We cannot know, we can no longer ignore the threats of these WMD, these weapons of mammary destruction. We can no longer ignore it when people are out having sex. It's horrible when people may be exposing parts of their bodies, such as their buttocks. We've got to deal with this, ladies and gentlemen. We've got to deal with it so much. So much we've got to hold hearings in the House and the Senate, and by God, we're going to get to it real fast. Valerie who? Claim? Oh, yeah, we'll get to her later. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah. But anyway, back to Janet Jackson's boob. We can't have this. And we cannot have a Democratic candidate having sex. And I guarantee you, folks, and by the way, if you look in the article, he had some sex with some fine-looking women. Anyway, this is the sort of thing the Republicans can latch their drooling little grubby teeth into. Those yellowed lie-stained fangs of dishonesty that they constantly bite into our country. My God. So get ready for it, folks. So the National Enquirer, and I bring this up now over in the chat room right now. People are telling me to move on. I bring it up because I want to point out where the Rush Limbaugh story broke. The National Enquirer is also the one that broke a lot of the Clinton stuff. It's coming. You're going to start hearing about how bad John Kerry is because he's had sex. Mark my words. It seems trivial, but this is how these people work. And by these people, I really don't mean people. I mean Republicans, you know. And they start off with this, kind of put it on one side to make it into, you know, something which tests the water. How are people going to react? And then it goes. That's the bad news for Kerry. They are going to start. Well, you know, because you can't jump on him for going AWOL from the military, can you? No. You know, I mean, sure, you can pick on him for some of his campaign contributions and maybe some of the decisions he made on how he voted on different laws and stuff, but there's really nothing serious to go after Kerry about. So, the Republicans are going to do what they do best, which is hoot and holler about liberal sex lives. That's what they do. I mean, Gary Hart, Bill Clinton. Excuse me. If a conservative has a little extracurricular sex, it's no big deal, you know. Anybody remember Bob Livingston, the shortest-lived Speaker of the House I've ever seen? Huh? How about Newt Gingrich? How about all of them? I don't think George Bush has sex, though. I think that's why he got to be president. He doesn't have sex. Okay. So, I just wanted to put that out there. That's coming. That's called a social issue. And we've got to deal with that. Now, on to last night's political action. Actually, if you're John Kerry, it's looking pretty darn good for you. But before we get to that, let me see here. This is from, what am I looking at here? My gosh, it's a magazine, yes. U.S. News and World Report. Those unprecedented, unpredictable indies, rather. Just to quote a little bit, this is a piece by Terrence Samuel. When all the South Carolina returns were in last week, Democrats had posted a record turnout, nearly 300,000. Exit polls showed that 24% of them identified as independents. It is a pattern that has been repeating itself. In New Hampshire, undeclared voters accounted for more than 40%. In Missouri, 23%. Senators John Edwards and John Kerry have been pulling most of them. In Missouri, for example, exit polls showed Kerry beating Edwards 37-28, but here Edwards won a whopping 48% of independents, and already there is speculation about the implications for November. That, ladies and gentlemen, I think is really, really great news. Because, I say this every time, but I think in all fairness I do have to keep repeating it. Just for the sake of disclaimer here, the wife and I are political and financial contributors to the Dean presidential campaign, which means I'm just sitting here trying to avoid going sour grapes. I admit it. Because my man Dean only came in fourth in Virginia, fourth in Tennessee. Okay, we'll go over these numbers in a moment here. Demetrius hung up, so, you know, well, okay. Okay, so let's see what we got coming out of Virginia. It was John Kerry, long shot. I mean, I don't know. It looks like John Kerry is getting to be the man of the hour here. No matter how you may feel about it, if he gives you butterflies, time to start getting over those butterflies, I think. Virginia, John Kerry pulled in 52%. His closest number two man, John Edwards, 27%. Wesley Clark, who dropped out of the race at 9%. By the way, yes, Wesley Clark is gone. And Howard Dean, 7%. Al Sharpton, you know who shows well in Virginia. Lyndon LaRouche. My God. Ooh, that's a creepy guy. LaRouche didn't get any percentage, but he did get a little over 1,000 votes. Gephardt even picked up some votes in Virginia. So did Lieberman. So, okay. Heading over to Tennessee, John Kerry comfortably again, number one spot. And we're not talking about small numbers here. Kerry in Virginia, 203,000. Well, about 203,000 votes. So, you know, that was 52% of the vote. So, boom, bingo. Tennessee, John Kerry, 150,185 votes with 41% for number one spot, followed by Edwards at 26%, Clark 23%, and once again, Clark has said he's dropping out of the race. Howard Dean, 4%. Sharpton, 2%. Lieberman shows up again. He's gone, folks. Stop voting for him. Lieberman, 1%. Uncommitted, 1%. Clara Mosley Braun picked up some Tennessee votes, 1% of them, too. Congressman Kucinich, actually, guys, I'm sorry, guys. I know there's a lot of, I know there's some Kucinich supporters out there. Now, I'm going to say this because, look, I'm a Dean supporter, so I'm beginning to feel a little brotherhood or sisterhood or whatever with you folks. But Kucinich got beat by Lieberman, uncommitted, and Mosley Braun. Okay? So, yeah, I don't know what's happening with Dennis Kucinich. Okay, we've got all of this plus a lot more here to cover, so stay tuned. Rama Schneider, substitute teacher here for Tom Hartman today. Stay tuned. You guys will be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Show. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom Hartman, who is in transit today. He will be back with you tomorrow. hey, folks, we're sitting in a place where despair is not an option. You know, if you're going to despair, go curl up in your fetal position on somebody else's time. Please don't waste my time with despair wishing. I believe in perseverance, you know. I believe in just optimistically plowing ahead no matter how thick that stupid wall is. Sooner or later, it may take several quadrillion, gazillion, bazillion years, but, you know, the laws of probability say I can pop through the wall at some point or another. Anyway, we got a lot more to cover about last night's primaries and where the political system's sitting, plus all sorts of other stuff here in the pile. But let's head first over to Kim Trucker in Beloit, Wisconsin. Hey, Kim, come on in. What's your issue, man?
I'll tell you, I've been thinking about this for months.
Okay.
The reason for, and I got two comments, so this is my first comment.
Okay.
The reason I think that neither Gephardt nor Kucinich, and Kucinich has some darn good ideas, but the reason they never even got out of the dock is first and foremost, I've never seen in reading that a representative in Congress, House of Representatives, ever got to be president. And part of it is that they have districts.
Yeah.
But they've never shown that they've ever had any appeal from, we'll say, at least half their state.
Right.
Whereas you get, with Kucinich, I hope he goes back from this and has shown his people in Ohio.
Yeah? Yeah. Did we lose Kim? Am I still here? Okay, I'm here. I'm sorry. I guess we lost you, Kim. Anyway, we'll carry on about that. You know, I wonder, and look, I'll be honest. I will support Howard Dean up until he screams auntie or uncle or whatever it is that he's got to scream in order to, call it quits. But, and I think Howard Dean, Dennis Kucinich, I think all of them are carrying messages that are important. That's why doesn't bother me if they stick around, but at some point we're all going to have to face reality, even poor little pitiful me, and they're going to have to sit there and look. If Dean doesn't really pick it up in Wisconsin, and the polls are looking like Kerry's going to walk away with Wisconsin too, you know, he's starting to reach that area of improbability, and I think others like Kucinich are there too. All right, Kim's back here. Come on in, Kim. Let's try it again, brother. Hello, Kim. Oh, you know that there, Kim. I bet he's trying to deal with us on a cell phone. So if Kim, you know what, we'll have a longer stretch after we come back from the next commercial break. So what if you're going to try to call back? Why don't you hold back till then? Because I love hearing from you people. You all really have a lot of good things to say. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. But I just wonder when it is time for a politician, you know, I mean, is the message worth continuing the run? And there are some people out there that are saying, yes, it's worth it for them to keep people's feet to the fire. One of the concerns is Kerry hasn't been thoroughly vetted yet. I don't know. I think Kerry's run for Senate enough that he's probably been vetted as well as Dean has been. And I know Howard Dean's been exceptionally well vetted here in Vermont. I don't know. At some point, you got to sit there and tell, you know, we all got to stop arguing over who's better to represent us and to decide what it is that we're comfortable with. And, I'm one of these folks. I'll admit it. I kind of grind my teeth a bit, but I can vote for John Kerry. What I'm afraid will happen with Kerry and what I think he's trying to avoid smartly enough by avoiding this whole Bush AWOL issue. If it becomes a matter of who did a more macho job in the military, Kerry will lose. Not that he hasn't done a more macho job in the military, but the truth is people aren't going to vote on that issue. They didn't vote for with Clinton. They didn't vote on that issue as far as Gore went. They're not going to vote on that issue in the long run. You know, what it does for Kerry is it builds up a lot of really devout following. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. Don't you go anywhere, because you've got to return.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some glaciers in South America are melting rapidly. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The southern end of South America is covered by an expanse of glaciers known as the Patagonian Ice Fields. The glaciers stretch from Chile's Pacific coast over the Andes Mountains and into Argentina. New research shows that they're melting, and they're melting faster than any other mountain glaciers on Earth. Eric Rignot is a glaciologist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. He studies the South American glaciers using data that was collected from space and information collected at ground level. Rignot says the glaciers are getting much thinner, and the top surface of some glaciers is lower today than in the past. The evidence includes marks on cliffs that were left by scientists who studied the glaciers years ago. They used paint to mark where they were standing, and today the marks are way up in the air.
Some of these glaciers experienced tremendous thinning in the past 25 years. We don't even need high technology to see that. For instance, on the San Rafael Glacier in the Northern Ice Field, we conducted a field survey and were looking for paint markers left by a Japanese expedition in 85. We had a hard time finding those paint markers because they were sitting about 50 meters above our heads on the cliff.
Mignot says the marks showed where the glacier was in 1985, and since then the glacier has melted down 150 feet. The Patagonian ice is still more than a mile thick in some places, but satellite data show that it's thinning much faster than glaciers in other mountains around the world. The water that runs off the glaciers ends up in the ocean. It makes a small contribution to rising sea levels every year. That contribution has been going on for decades, and it has grown larger in recent years. The research by Rignot and his colleagues was published last October in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman, who is in transit and will be back with all you democracy lovers tomorrow. In the meantime, welcome to the real free speech zone. We have no time for despair here, and, of course, the Tom Hartman Show being brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, that's 1-800-511-6227, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. And before I get to the callers there, the chat room. Now, there is a chat room that goes on live while this show is ongoing, and it's really a lot of fun to, watch the people sit there and talk about different subjects, and, I wish they would just stop bad-mouthing me, but that's all right. I guess they can do that, the idiots. But if you want to get to the chat room and join all sorts of super, super intelligent people, you go to TomHartman.com, and just click on chat room. And hey, you know, next thing you know, you'll be in the chat room. It's kind of like clicking your heels together three times and saying, I wish I was back somewhere else. So it works pretty good. Okay, we're going to get to the callers here, but as we go on, I want to keep throwing some stuff out here. There's a whole lot of subjects, and I really want to get some of these. Are really desperately important. So before we take the next call here, under the heading of But They Said, this is from a Yahoo News article from yesterday. The former chief of the group of experts responsible for finding weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, David Kaye, said there was no point in continuing to hunt for arms. He said, quote, really did not exist. I think finding them is probably the wrong approach, the wrong strategy, Kaye told a news conference. When you look for the production processes, learn where they have been produced, look for the people that have been involved in that production, look for the records, pretty soon you reach the conclusion they really did not exist, Mr. Kaye said. And we'll get back to that in a moment, but first we have Shannon in Augusta, Georgia. Hey, Shannon, how you doing, and what you got to say?
Oh, did you happen to catch Doug Steffen this morning?
No, actually, I didn't.
Okay, they had Howard Dean was on there talking with Doug and Nancy Skinner.
Yeah.
And he came out with some rather shocking revelations that shocked me. He alluded to, and, you know, I trust Howard Dean. I wouldn't believe him to come up with any wacky conspiracy theories, but he alluded to deals, some backdoor shenanigans being dealt with between John Kerry and Dick Gephardt and Wesley Clark in Iowa.
Huh.
He also alluded to some contributions that may or may not have been given to Kerry by one Rupert Murdoch.
Really?
Have you heard anything about this, or do you know anything about this?
Well, no. Now, I guess on the Iowa part, this is what I do know for a fact. From watching Gephardt one time on CNN, I forget who it was. I think he was talking to Blitzer, Wolfowitz's Blitzer there. Well, I mean, come on. The guy loves to repeat anything that's claimed by the White House. But anyway, he was talking, I think it was Blitzer, and I'm going to say it was because I'm almost positive it was, but Blitzer was talking to Gephardt, and Gephardt was making these unsubstantiated claims about Dean supporters were going to come into Iowa and were going to take part in the caucuses illegally. And when he was asked for any substantiating evidence for that, is he didn't offer any. He just said, well, I'm really concerned about it, and I think Howard Dean ought to ask it. So, you know, if you tell me about some sort of backroom deals, I'm not going to be entirely surprised.
No, I wouldn't be surprised about it either. The thing of it is Howard Dean himself came out and said it. And now, even if he believes it, you got to have something pretty substantial to, you know, if you're running.
Yeah,
you want to be taken, you know, as a credible person.
Yeah.
You got to have some sort of substantial, you know, some sort of corroboration for that.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah. Okay, Darvin, we got more people that want to. I'm sorry, not Darvin. I'm talking to Shannon. We got more people want to come on. So thank you for your comment. So anybody else that has any more information about that to let us know. The only look, you know, I'll tell you what I'll say about the Dean campaign. I believe the buck stops at the top. And Howard Dean, I still support him. I personally, on a personal level, I think he's a fantastic person. From the couple times I've met him anyway, as my governor, I think he's honest. He's very talented, and he means what he says. But, you know, look, if the guy got sucker punched, he left himself open for the sucker punch. And that's what it's really got to boil down to, whether it's fair or not. Anyway, let's head on to Kim. Kim, our truck driver in Wisconsin's back with us. How you doing, Kim?
Pretty good. I got on a different telephone.
Good deal.
No, the thing I'm looking for from Kerry, I want him to come out and say that he will rescind the executive orders of George W. Bush. Effectively sealing his father's papers and then his own papers. And also, I want him to come out and say that he will definitely rescind, put people in place to rescind these various procedural changes within the various departments, starting with the Department of Interior, where they're allowed to rape, the oil companies are allowed to rape our country.
Right.
Without paying royalties. And they can literally stop some of this rape that's going on.
Yeah.
You know, that. I mean, that's a thing that I'm very concerned about because, you know, it's like once these procedures are changed, then nobody will change them back.
Yep.
And he did it, as far as I'm concerned. Now, I guess it's within his parameters, is within his right to do it, but I feel it's illegal because it's going around the normal procedures of using Congress, where everybody gets at least a vote.
Well, yeah, you know, funny enough, this is exactly when Clinton was president that all the Republicans were screaming like a bunch of stuck cats about, you know, that Clinton would make these executive orders and they, oh, that's just a way of unconstitutionally going around the Congress. You know, so for, you got to realize for them, goose and gander have no meaning and you just got to kind of give them a full frontal kick in the face with something. I mean, we have to take our country back from them because these people have no intention of being honest with us.
And as far as I'm going to make just one more comment and I'll get off
okay.
the air. You point out one point that's good, and yet it's I think it might be erroneous in this particular election.
What's that?
You said, look, nobody's going to give a rat's ass about Bush's military history.
Yep.
Tell that to the National Guard's boys and their parents that are over in Iraq right now and coming home wounded.
Yep. No,
their parents are going to be very concerned, and they're going to weigh heavily when they say, look, my son went over, spent a year in a foreign country, and he gave an arm, a leg, or maybe his life, and this little guy got to go around and do whatever he wanted in this country while his father, and this is what makes it irrelevant, while his own father was advocating war in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And now he, who never went over, never served, other than, you know, one in paper, yet he sent my son or my daughter over there to get killed.
Well, Kim,
for a vendetta.
Kim, I want to thank you for your call, and I sincerely hope you're correct on that. I really do.
I'll hang up and listen to you on the radio, sir.
All right. Drive carefully, brother.
You got it.
All right. All right, let's head right on down to Tampa, Florida. Kevin, what do you got to say?
Hi, Rama.
How you doing?
I was calling about that caller that before that was talking about the Dean phone call to Doug this morning.
Right.
I didn't hear that, but I did read something similar, and it was not coming from Dean.
Huh.
But as far as Murdoch, a lot of these guys, these big corporate people, will give $2,000 to every candidate.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's not the question. What it is, and what the article that I read, and maybe Dean talked only about part of it, but Bob Torricelli, the senator that had to get out of the race in New Jersey in 2002.
Yes.
He was involved in this. And I'm not sure where I read it. It might have been a Yahoo article, might have been New York Times. Actually, no, I think it was in the Times. And it seems that they put a whole bunch of money in an anti-Dean ad in Iowa. And there was a whole bunch of big Democrats that did it, Torricelli being the leader. And Torricelli may be in trouble with the Federal Election Commission because it turns out that he put in $50,000 of his leftover campaign money from 2002, and the FEC is now looking at that.
Well, good. I hope they do. All right. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate that, Kevin. Let's head right over to Indianapolis. It seems to be the radio show for truckers, man. Must have something to do about that Sirius satellite system or something. Anyway, Jim, how you doing?
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. What you got to say?
The thing about Rupert Murdoch was in the Guardian newspaper yesterday. That Murdoch and the, some fella from Viacom.
Right.
Anyway, they're financially supporting Kerry. And I think it's just all a big conspiracy, and here's the big C word, you know, but I think it's just a conspiracy to get, Howard Dean out and to get John Kerry in so they can beat the shit out of John Kerry.
Language alert, Jim.
And that's what I think it is, and I believe this was just an assault by the media on Howard Dean.
Well,
and to beat him down and to make him irrelevant.
Jim, I think you carry a valid point. I do, but I'll tell you, as that'll come back to me, you know, I have a lot of faith in Howard Dean. And I kept telling the wife, because she kept wondering, you know, all this beating as, that Dean went through in the later half of last year and the first part of this year. And I kept saying, look, he's a smart guy. He's going to strike back. He's got all that money. Unfortunately, Dean left himself open to these attacks. And I'm going to get into his Iowa speech here in a second. I want to thank you for your phone call here, Kevin, because we got a... Or I'm talking to Jim, I'm sorry, because we got other people that want to call in at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. But I want to get back to Dean's Iowa speech there, that last Iowa speech. It's called his scream speech. And I really wasn't intending to get back, but this has to do with what Jim was talking about. And I think what he is accurate. But look, I hold Howard Dean ultimately. Howard Dean was responsible for being able to do something to strike back at all these inaccuracies. And the CNN yesterday came out with an article, the headline, CNN says it overplayed Dean's Iowa scream. Now, first of all, it wasn't a scream. There was no screaming. Screaming is what happens when those ladies run into those windowless bathrooms in slasher movies, okay? That's screaming. Dean was yelling, yes, but here's what happened when they kept replaying that clip. The way that they replayed it, they left out a simple fact. It's called 99% of the soundtrack. If you had listened to that speech on a video taken from the crowd, you would have had a very, 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 very difficult time hearing Dean above the hooting and the hollering and the stomping and the screaming and just the general upbeat attitude that he helped to reimplant into those people. Okay? And so, but when CNN, it's not that they overplayed the Dean speech. What they did was lie about it. They played it like it was him yelling to a mostly quiet crowd. And this is the sort of crap that they pulled. Now, Howard Dean should have responded. And if I was Howard Dean's campaign manager, I would have taken a 30-second clip of that speech with all those people hooting and hollering and hooting and hollering, and I would have run that. I would have said, here's what it was really like in Iowa, but he didn't. Howard Dean has to take the responsibility. Howard Dean does take the responsibility for this sort of stuff, okay? Unlike Bush, who says, I take responsibility, just I ain't no consequences, please. You know? Howard Dean actually, you know, he's taking the responsibility for it. So, I mean, they made some bad moves. And he's trying to play catch-up because of it. But, look, the media did lie about Dean, willfully, knowingly, and deliberately, because when the media... When CNN and Fox and MSNBC and ABC and CBS and all the other cretins kept replaying that crap over and over and making it sound like Dean was yelling at a quiet room by leaving out 99% of the soundtrack, which showed you that he was yelling because he could hardly be heard, all right, that's called a lie. So they did. They willfully and deliberately lied, and they did it to help beat down Howard Dean. Over to the chat room here. All right, where the heck is that? Somebody's picking on me for my uses of language. J. Kevin King, Esquire. Listen, guy. He types, Rama called his wife the wife. Rama, she is not a piece of property. No one should call their spouse the spouse. Just a note. Well, here's why I call my wife the wife. I feel awful funny saying she's my wife, because that makes me feel like I'm talking about a piece of property. She's not. She's an equal partner. Actually, a lot of times she's the superior partner in our relationship. And that's why I say the wife instead of my wife, because I'm trying not to be possessive. She is a person unto herself, a very intelligent and an outright fox. Let me tell you, if you were married to the woman I was married, you'd call her anything as long as she'd come to you. So, you know, but that's why I do it. Anyway, yeah, it's kind of fun. You can get into there. All right. We can, all of us Dean supporters, all of us Kucinich supporters, Clark supporters, Edwards, we can all cry in our beer. I got the feeling we got to start looking at reality, and that's, hey, guess what? Is You know, it looks like John Kerry right now, barring anything, you know. Of course, I will not know for sure myself until after California and New York. But I really think that, you know, by the time we get through the Wisconsin, we're really going to have some good idea. So, you know, I don't know. All right. Now, we'll stick with that Dean speech for a little bit there. There's somebody that wants to talk about it. We'll get to the caller here after the commercial break, because I do want to carry on here, because we also need to talk about those missing, non-existent, lied about weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Because, look, Kay has made an amazing confession here, and I think it's just skipped right over everybody's head. So we'll come back to that. Got a lot more to talk about. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services, from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Show.
An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
TomHartman.com.
Bopping the right wing every day on the radio across the USA.
Getting it right and getting tough, using mystery science and all that stuff.
Win the water cooler wars, Tom's on your side, that's what he's for.
All right. Between the music and the words there, that's pretty good. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Program. And, let's head to the phone here. Philip from Fairfield, Iowa, you're going to have the last word we're going to take today on Howard Dean, Wesley Clark, or any of the Democrats. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say that. Not the last word, but we got to move on. Anyway, what's on your mind there, Philip?
Well, just a couple of things. One is that many people don't realize the media portrayed Howard Dean's the famous scream speech as his concession speech, which colored the perception even more. You know, people thought, oh, gee, this is the way this guy concedes. What they don't realize is that an hour before that rally, he had given a concession speech in front of the TV cameras.
Really?
And they chose not to play that.
Huh.
And then they played his, quote, scream speech all over the place, plastered the airwaves with it, which colored people's perception even more that this guy was out of control if this is the way he concedes.
Yeah. Well, it's also the way they did it. It's like they made it seem like, because they cut out 99% of the soundtrack.
Oh, sure.
They made
sure.
It seem like he was basically yelling at a room full of quiet, despondent people.
Yeah. And then they meekly, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, after all the damage is done, say, well, gee, maybe we did it a little bit. You know, if we had to do it over, maybe we wouldn't do it the same way.
You know? Well, you know what I kept waiting for them to say, and none of them has said, though, Philip? I keep waiting for them to say, look, we misrepresented the facts of that
exactly.
particular incident, and we're sorry, and,
yeah.
and we should get beyond. But once again, Philip, who do you ultimately hold responsible?
Yeah. Yeah, well, the campaign should have rebutted it in no uncertain terms, but we were licking our wounds after the Iowa debacle, and very few people were thinking straight, and they should have come at it real hard. There's one other comment I wanted to make.
Okay, you better make it quick
because
we're running low.
Because people
are
saying, you know, what happened to the Dean campaign? Well, if you go back and look at the media over the course of the fall, everything's going great for Howard up until November.
Yeah.
And in November, he made that infamous remark on Tim Russert's show, I believe it was, where he said that he planned on working against the centralization and the monopolization of the media.
Yeah, that was actually Hardball Chris Matthews. Thank you, Philip. I got to let you go. We're coming up on a hard break here at the top of the hour. So we really need to. There's a whole lot of stuff going on that we just need to cover. So we're going to move on from this topic, hopefully. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. You folks will be right back, and so will I, for that matter.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't
you
put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. George W. Bush was absent for long periods of his final 2 years of National Guard duty, according to new records cited by the White House in an effort to refute accusations he shirked Vietnam War-era military obligations. The records, some of which had been previously released, were not fully legible and show long gaps in Bush's Guard service from May through late October 1972 and mid-January through early April 1973. The records allude that Bush earned service points and was paid for duty in late October and November of 1972, but officials still could not specify which dates he served in Alabama. They also could not explain the huge gap in 1973. An evaluation report from superiors in Texas said Bush had not been observed from April 1972 to May 1973. The heaviest guard service in his last 2 years came in July of 1973, when he was paid for 19 days. Vice President Dick Cheney's political future was at stake yesterday in Washington, where a grand jury investigation was questioning administration officials about his office's role in leaking the name of a CIA operative for political motives. The inquiry has already questioned the president's spokesman and one of his media advisors over the identification of Valerie Plame, which is developing into one of the administration's main headaches in an election year. Informed sources said last night that three of the five officials who are the real targets of the probe worked for Mr. Cheney. Until recently, George W. Bush has insisted that Mr. Cheney would be his vice presidential candidate in the November elections, despite his history of heart trouble. Wesley Clark, battered by losses in his southern base, is abandoning his bid for the Democratic presidential nomination and heading home to Arkansas to exit the race. Clark made the decision after consulting with family members who had been urging him to stay in, but Clark, who won only one of the 14 contests, was under intense pressure to drop out because of John Kerry's success and a desire by party leaders for a quick end to a nominating season he has come to dominate. More after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 save the music, because music education equals brain power.
Dressed in a demure black suit, a 35-year-old French woman married her dead boyfriend Tuesday in a macabre exchange of vows that required authorization from the French president. Under French law, Christianielle de Meckel became both bride and widow as a result of the ceremony, which was performed at Nice City Hall on the French Riviera. The deceased groom, a former policeman killed by a drunk driver in September 2002, was not present at the ceremony. According to French law, a marriage between a living person and a dead person can take place as long as preliminary civic formalities have been completed that show the couple had planned to marry. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Michael Powell is the kind of guy who would have rooted for Goliath over David. In fact, if Powell's performance as head of the Federal Communications Commission is any indicator, he would have even given the slingshot to the giant. Throughout his tenure at the FCC, Powell has pushed to unregulate the media giant's use of our public airwaves and to eliminate any restrictions on how much of our nation's media any one conglomerate can control. Already, only five of these conglomerates, Disney, Viacom, GE, Time Warner, and News Corp, control the five largest TV networks, 70% of the primetime television market, most cable channels, and extensive holdings in radio, publishing, movies, records, and the Internet. But that's not enough for Powell and the Bush White House. Last June, they pushed through the FCC a plan that essentially would take the lid off of media ownership rules. In your city, for example, one conglomerate could own three television stations, the local newspaper, and as many as eight radio stations. In my state of Texas, the rules would allow any two conglomerates to take over nearly half of the state's commercial TV stations, all of the major newspapers, and 40% of the radio stations. With such ownership comes control of the news, information, and cultural expressions that we get. It's not a matter of the fox being in the hen house. The fox would own the hen house. That's why more than 2 million Americans sent letters and emails to protest the FCC's rules, and why several groups have obtained a court injunction to stop the rules from taking effect until court review. Powell's FCC is now holding a series of hokey hearings around the country to let people vent. But the only real change we're going to get will be through the courts, Congress, and the presidential race. It's not only our public airwaves that are at risk, but democracy itself. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get information and fight back, call Common Cause, 202-833-1200.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And it's Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman program. Tom Bean in transit today. He will be with all you wonderful folk again tomorrow. And let me just head through a couple housekeeping things here. The Tom Hartman program is brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227, and the Organic Wine Company at 1-888-ECO-WINE. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Have a really wonderful ongoing chat room. Sometimes their conversation takes a dive, but, they talk about all sorts of good things, sometimes bad things. If you want to get there, go to tomhartman.com, click on chat room, and hey, you can be in there with the rest of them. That's a great place to spend your time if you're at work and, you're sitting in your cubicle and the boss is off doing something. It really is. It's a good way to listen to the program. And let me see what else. Oh, yeah, the message board, too. Tom maintains a really big message board, too. You can get to that, tomhartman.com. Click on message board, and there you can, just leave messages all the time, 24 hours a day, 24-8. Eight, that's right. I want 8 days in a week. I don't work enough. 8 days a week. Ooh. All right, enough singing. No singing for Rama. Hey, you want to take part in the program? 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Get your grubby little fingers over there and dial away. Okay, so we spent so much time worrying about Howard Dean. Why does I swear to God, I think probably like 75% of the people that listen to this show like how, well, no, I should say 60% Howard Dean, 35% Kucinich, and the other 5% kind of spread around with the other guys. But, okay. Anyway, I want to get back to this David Kay article I was reading here from Yahoo News from yesterday. And I think this is important. Okay, let me read the appropriate line here. When you look for the production processes, learn where they have been produced, look for the people that have been involved in that production, look for the records. Pretty soon you reach the conclusion they really did not exist, he, meaning David Kay, said. Now, seems to me, I remember David Kay sitting in front of the Congress and telling them about all these laboratories suitable for biological weapon development. You know, I'm still not sure what suitable meant. Did it mean there was like glass in the windows or it had a roof that didn't leak too bad? I'm not sure. And it seems to me that our lovely coward-in-chief, George Bush, is still running around telling everybody that, yeah, it's a good thing we got rid of Saddam Hussein because he had the capacity to do all that stuff, which I said he definitely was going to do anyway. But David Kay is sitting here saying at a press conference just yesterday that, no, that's not true. Essentially, when you look for the production processes, learn where they have been produced, look for the people that have been involved in that production, look for the records. Pretty soon you reach the conclusion they really did not exist. In other words, David Kay went over there to Iraq and literally found nothing no matter what he reported back. Because here he's saying he didn't find diddly squat, folks. Diddly squat. But we still have to put up with these lying little, I can't say it on the air, but we have to put up with them. George Bush is still running around repeating the lies that David Kay told Congress. Now he gets out here and says something totally different. You think he'll be hauled up for contempt of Congress? No way. He's a Republican. He's not a Democrat. Okay, before I get too mad at this, let's head over to Nick from New Jersey. Go ahead, Nick. What you got to say?
Yeah, hi. Well, I was just going to bring up some talking points. Maybe we can get some other people involved in there. I got three of them, right?
Well,
back to Bush's. I'll be real quick.
Okay.
Back to Bush's, his AWOL charges. You know, they paraded out his pay record. I mean, what they need to parade out is his fit reps, his fitness reports, his flight logs, his leave requests, his physicals, his flight physicals, things like that. That's the stuff that we need to see. Anybody who's in the military knows, you know, a pay record doesn't mean anything. It's just showing, you that money was being allocated to you.
No, I got a DD-214 that tells the world what a great soldier I was,
exactly.
But I know I wasn't always a great soldier. So.
Right. second talking point. Hopefully, something that's absolutely never heard of in the media. Never, you never hear the I word. It seems to be taboo. I'm talking about Israel. Israel is the power in the Middle East. And if Iraq was a threat to the United States, how come it's never mentioned that Iraq was a threat to Israel? When most of us who have any rudimentary knowledge of military power knows Iraq was basically a pissant compared to Israeli military power.
Now, Nick, you raise an interesting point there. Let me ask you, just in your opinion, do you think that that had any bearing on us invading Iraq?
I think with a lot of the neocons and their strong pro-Israeli, bent,
right,
I want to say, and there's some of their very strong ties to some of the right wing in the Israeli government, I would say. It's really hard to say. I mean, I think these guys have had this plan. I don't know if Israel was, you know, the main reason, but I think it plays into that. But the fact that it was just never brought up.
Yep.
I mean, here's the fourth largest army in the world, one of the best trained, best equipped militaries in the world.
Nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, biological
weapons. Power in the Middle East. And never peep, never peep. Well, how come they're not, if they're a threat to the United States, and they're not a threat to Israel, and people just didn't scratch their heads and put two and two together. And another talking point. I'm just going to talk to someone else. Is
Go
the gay
ahead.
Marriage thing? How come we never hear numbers? Give us throw a percentage out. What would be the percentage of marriages in this country who would be gay? I'm guessing probably a fraction of 1%.
Yeah.
And they're making a big deal. So if that was a political, you know, if that was an electorate, you know, a constituency that you're looking for to be a successful politician, it wouldn't even cross the radar.
Yep. All right.
That's all I got.
Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate that, Mick. You have a great day, and stay tuned here, and maybe we can come up with some answers to some of this. Okay. All right. Before I get to Joseph here, nobody wants to talk about weapons of mass destruction. We all know they lied. Okay, screw it. Joseph from Vegas. Okay, well, what's this about Republicans seeming panicky, brother?
Oh, good morning, Rama. Thank you for taking my call.
You betcha.
I hear you want a tape delay here in Las Vegas. It starts at 2 in the afternoon,
ooh,
and it's only for an hour.
Huh.
So I'm not even going to hear myself because I'll get the second, you know, I only get the first hour.
Do you have good internet access?
No, I don't have a computer, sir.
Because you
I'm
can
on
go
my way to getting one, though, because I'm missing programs like yours
okay.
and others.
Because there is, and call up and ask Tom there how to get it, because there is a site, it's White Rose Society, all one word, whiterosesociety.org, and they carry the complete shows for a little while.
Oh, good. Okay,
so, well, okay, go ahead, anyway.
Anyway, I think it's absolutely amazing now. First, we saw the president on Sunday.
Right.
Now, I said before on another program, and, you know, my description, not yours, so you don't have to take any kind of heat for it.
What kind of words are you going to use?
Well, they're fine.
Okay.
But I always said, you know, this guy is as dumb as a box of rocks. And now he has displayed his ignorance on a nationwide program. Sitting on a one-to-one with Tim Russert. And, you know, Tim Russert really didn't throw any hard balls at this guy.
No.
And
no.
even with the slow curves that he threw him, he couldn't respond.
Yeah.
He just, you know, he doesn't have the capacity.
No, I agree.
And, you know, here's a kid, you know, nobody understands. This is a spoiled, rich kid that's gone to the best schools. He's gotten the best privileged lifestyle that money can buy,
yeah.
And he's just not equipped for the presidency. Now, he's being propped up by the likes of Cheney and Rove, and these people are, you know, they wrote the book on dirty tricks.
Yeah.
Now, you see they're showing Kerry with Jane Fonda. Did you see the latest picture now?
No, but I'm, yeah.
Well,
we
they have it on
that.
In one of the major newspapers.
Yeah.
You know, this is a photograph taken years ago.
Yeah,
there was
after he got Jane out of
Fonda's
Vietnam.
In the foreground, and Tom Kerry sitting a few rows in the back, and then they have a red arrow indicating that, you know, it's John Kerry.
Yeah, but he's within a few rows of her, the little commie pinko freak.
I understand, but wait a minute.
Okay.
Now, here's something for everybody to ponder. And I've never heard anybody say this before, but I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I don't think that Jane Fonda is the commie pinko that everybody describes her to be. I think she was a plant by the CIA to get
really?
Into the North and, you know, kind of take mental pictures as to what's going on in there and then come back to Washington and get debriefed.
Hmm.
You know, she was never prosecuted for what she did.
Hmm.
Anybody else would have been prosecuted. She was giving aid and comfort to the enemy, correct?
Yeah, well, you raise a valid point. I've never
Absolutely.
Thought about it that way.
And everybody says, oh, Jane Fonda the Pinko. Now, of course, she can't say anything. She's probably sworn to secrecy until the day she dies.
Yeah.
And then this can be come out, you know, 5 years after her death or something like that. There's got to be a time limit.
Well, after we reelect Bush, then they can say, oh, that picture of Kerry, you mean with the CIA operative Fonda?
Right.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, you know, everybody is characterizing this lady, and they're missing, you know, the obvious. I mean, she went to North Vietnam. She went through all the... you know, all the camps and so forth and the prisoners of war.
Yeah.
And then she came back, and that was the end of it. I mean, nobody prosecuted her, you know, but there's this huge hue and cry. And she's, you know, I think she's a brave soul.
Okay.
Anyway, that's just my opinion, and it's only a, you know, a what do you call
it? It's an opinion.
And it's an opinion.
All right, but well, Joe.
Anyway, but I think it's awfully comical now. These people are, they're struggling for damage control. Now you see Condoleezza Rice is going to be on Larry King.
Yeah. Yeah.
You saw the other pundits of, you know, the Republican Party.
Well,
they're all on TV now. I mean, big time. You never heard of these people before.
Yeah.
And now they're splashed across the screen.
You
see
it.
Them. They're trying to look compassionate. They're trying to offer valid opinions and explanations for, you know, the blunders that they created.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your input, Joe. I appreciate it. I really do. And I think they've been in a panic for a long time. That's why they've always resorted to the fear factor. You know, I think they've always been afraid that if people actually pay attention to what these folks say and do, they're going to be in a world of hurt. And what's happening now, in good part because of people like Tom who have gotten out in front with this program that he's got, that people are starting to actually not only be cognizant of the truth and reality about what's being said and what's being done, but they're talking about it. This is the thing. There was never open, wide discussion. I know I fought to, I fought and fought. All summer 2002, all fall 2002, all winter 2002, 2003, there was a local radio talk show that I used to call in regularly to pass on information about how we were being lied to about the weapons of mass destruction. Finally, people are actually discussing it. Wow, it seems to be true. What went wrong? Why were we lied to? Rahm Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. Everybody, it's going to be right back in the same room.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom today. Tom is in transit, and he will be back with everybody tomorrow. So let's just remember, David Kay is now telling the world that, you know, when he looked around Iraq, when he looked at the production processes, learns where stuff has been produced, looked for the people that's been involved in production of WMD, he looked for the records, and in his own words, quoting him exactly here, pretty soon you reach the conclusion they really did not exist. So, you know, I don't know where we take it from there. The Spanish government here, this comes from Pravda, good old Russian Pravda, and they say, "Ach, nice, no, the English version, Rama. Like many other countries, Spain believed Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The Spanish government has admitted for the first time that, quote, it might have made a mistake when it decided to support the Iraqi campaign, end quote, governmental press secretary Eduardo Zaplano says. So not only that, didn't Howard now, the Prime Minister Howard of Australia, wasn't he even censured by their parliament for you know, continually lying about going to, or at least he's been in a lot of trouble. Of course, over in Britain, Blair thought he was covered by that Grand Hutton Commission, you know, remember? Nobody's buying that Hutton Commission report that basically stated that, you know, Blair's a great, great prime minister and didn't do anything wrong and didn't mislead the Britain, you know? So one thing I've discovered about Republicans, and this is something they really, really have a hard time avoiding. If you let them talk long enough, they say things that expose them. You know, they really do. So, you know, like I say, and I want to come back because this cannot be stressed enough, what David Kay has said about when you look at the production processes, learn where the stuff's been produced, look for the people involved in production, look for records. And to quote him exactly, pretty soon you reach the conclusion they really did not exist. And now you got to take that comment and go back over every little piece of BS that he's tried to spread to keep the Bush administration out of trouble. And, you know, look, it does. It gets them in trouble. Okay. Armin from Florida. Hey, Armin, how you doing today?
Thank you. 2 points, but first I'd like to, you know, to simplify a lot of explanations.
Okay, hold on. You got to talk fast because you're going to run out of time.
Quickly, you have to ask yourself, with the Bush crime family, everything aside, are they making money? You know what the answer to that is. And I heard a cute little phrase, and you can put the money with it, about Condoleezza Rice. Rice erroneous. A big oil company treat.
Rice erroneous. It's the rice erroneous part I really like, Armin. Thank you for that little treat. How's the weather down there?
Oh, do I have to tell you, it's 80 degrees and the sun's shining and it's beautiful? Oh, all my right. God, they're coming in so fast. Why did I say that?
You suck, Armin. Okay, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Yeah. Actually, it's not too bad here today, but we're supposed to get cold weather again. That's one problem. You know, I think we're going to end up with an early spring here up in the Northeast, and that's because we've already started getting these coastal storms working their way up into Vermont, and these usually don't happen until we get up into March. So, I don't know. Let's see. Doubts dissent stripped from public version of Iraq assessment. That comes to us from Common Dreams. Well, we knew this already. The public version of the U.S. intelligence community's key pre-war assessment of Iraq's illicit arms programs was stripped of dissenting opinions, warnings of insufficient information, and doubts about deposed dictator Saddam Hussein's intentions. A review of the document and its once classified version shows. As a result, Common Dreams says, the public was given a far more definitive assessment of Iraq's plans and capabilities than Bush or other U.S. decision makers received from their intelligence agencies. And I made mention a while ago, I spent the summer of 2002, the fall of 2002, the winter of 2002, of 02, 03, just constantly trying to hammer on this one theme. Everything I came across that said, look, intelligence sources saying they're misusing the intelligence. Reports from Blix and L. Baraday and all saying, look, we can't find the stuff. You know, it's probably not there. Can't be stated enough. Pretty soon you reach the conclusion they really did not exist, Mr. K said. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman radio program. We're to be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some glaciers in South America are melting rapidly. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The southern end of South America is covered by an expanse of glaciers known as the Patagonian Ice Fields. The glaciers stretch from Chile's Pacific coast over the Andes Mountains and into Argentina. New research shows that they're melting, and they're melting faster than any other mountain glaciers on Earth. Eric Rignot is a glaciologist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. He studies the South American glaciers using data that was collected from space and information collected at ground level. Rignot says the glaciers are getting much thinner, and the top surface of some glaciers is lower today than in the past. The evidence includes marks on cliffs that were left by scientists who studied the glaciers years ago. They used paint to mark where they were standing, and today the marks are way up in the air.
Some of these glaciers experienced tremendous thinning in the past 25 years. We don't even need high technology to see that. For instance, on the San Rafael Glacier in the Northern Ice Field, we conducted a field survey and were looking for paint markers left by a Japanese expedition in 85. We had a hard time finding those paint markers because they were sitting about 50 meters above our heads on the cliff.
Rignot says the marks showed where the glacier was in 1985, and since then the glacier has melted down 150 feet. The Patagonian ice is still more than a mile thick in some places, but satellite data show that it's thinning much faster than glaciers in other mountains around the world. The water that runs off the glaciers ends up in the ocean. It makes a small contribution to rising sea levels every year. That contribution has been going on for decades, and it has grown larger in recent years. The research by Rignot and his colleagues was published last October in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
All that you touch and all that you see, all that you taste, all you feel, and all that you love.
And welcome back back to the Tom Hartman radio program. Ron Schneider sitting in for Tom, who is in transit today. He will be with everybody tomorrow. And the Tom Hartman program, of course, being brought to you by Small Dog Electronics at 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. That's 1-888-ECO, E-C-O, WINE, W-I-N-E. I can't make it any simpler for you, can I? Hey, all right. Hey, all right. Let's go. We got a guest with us here. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about some, I guess it's going to be youth issues. On the phone with us is Jean Chen. She's the editor of Wiretap magazine. And hello, Jean.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going very well. How's it out there in California today?
It's a bright, sunny day.
Oh, God, you people all rock. All you people in Florida, all you people in... Man! All right. I'll just have to buck up and live with it. Okay, now, Jean, I guess real quick, the reason I asked you to come on the phone is to talk about young people and as regards to politics, in particular with the Democratic primary season and the presidential election and all coming up. But before we do, just some general fill-in questions. First of all, you're the editor of Wiretap magazine, and you're also on the web there. So tell us a little bit about Wiretap.
Sure. Wiretap is a website for socially conscious youth, and our URL is www.wiretapmag.org. And our audience is a teen audience, and so are writers, actually. We have kids writing from all over the country, ages 15 to, like, 24.
Now, you're associated with Alternet, right?
That's right. We're the youth portion of Alternet.
Okay. And just so people understand, I mean, I'm not casting aspersions. As a matter of fact, I love Alternet, and I've enjoyed the stories I found on your guys' site. It's just people know we're talking to a progressive site here. Can you give me some sort of definition in your experience, Gene, what we're talking about in regards politics and all when we say young people? Are they 16, 20? Are they what?
That's actually a really good question, and it depends on who you talk to. Everyone sort of defines youth a little bit differently. Some people think it's 18 and under. Some people say it's up to age 35. But
can
at Wiretap,
46?
Some people think youth is under age 60.
All right. Thank you. Okay, carry on. You made my day.
But for us at Wiretap, we define it age, our audience at least, is age 15 through 24. So we define youth as under 25.
Okay, that sounds so. Anybody older than that's over the hill, right?
Sure.
I'm not going to ask you how old you are, Jean.
I'm not much older than 25, but definitely older than that.
Hey, I like that. Good description. Okay, so we're in reference to this discussion here, we're talking about, you know, under 25-year-old group. How involved are these young people? I mean, in more of just a general term as opposed to your leadership, just young people in general under 25, how politically involved are they?
Well, once again, it depends on what you mean by politically involved. When you talk about voting turnout, obviously it's quite low, and I don't have the exact stats, but a lot of people have been complaining, well, you know, people 18 to 25 aren't voting, what's going on?
Yeah.
These young people are so apathetic, but if you look at the rates of volunteerism and, you know, the percentage of young people who go out and give their time to organizations and groups and volunteer is actually higher than, say, people who are in the, you know, Gen X and baby boomers. So, yeah, youth, they go out and volunteer at a 40% rate compared to, say, you know, Gen Xers who are 32% and baby boomers who are 22%.
Well, that's really something. If anybody has a question or comment for Gene Chen, editor of Wiretap magazine, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. I never looked at it that way, but you're right. As I look around my hometown and the young folks really seem to be socially very involved in community efforts. But I know when I ran for local representative here once a handful of years ago, I ran into a lot of folks who were in that 18, 20, 24-year-old range, and, you know, they just basically weren't interested in voting. And when I'd ask them, and you know, I guess I'm looking for just is this a common answer? When I'd ask them, I'd say, well, why isn't that you don't that you're not going to vote? And they go, well, you know, it really just doesn't mean anything to me right now.
Mm-hmm. We found out a lot too. For some reason, youth, they're out there, they're doing a lot of things, but for some reason, they just don't identify with the traditional political structure that's around right now, and so that translates into low voting rates.
Why?
That's a good question.
Not why does it translate to low voting rates, but why do they kind of not see any difference to be made for them?
You know, I think it depends on whatever youth you talk to, but I think part of it, too, is that candidates aren't outreaching enough to youth.
Yeah. But then again, as I hear a lot of them saying, oh, we need to do, I mean, they're going on MTV, they're making asses of themselves
only
in
recently,
public.
Only recently, though. Yeah. Only recently. I mean, Clinton did it, you know, he went on, was it Saturday Night Live or MTV, but people were really shocked. And even when Arnold Schwarzenegger announced his candidacy on Leno and he was on Howard Stern, people thought that was weird. And I feel like it's only now people are catching on and thinking, okay, maybe this is the way to outreach to youth. But, you know, the stats are still shocking most adults. For example, I think that recently it came out that a good number of youth get their news from Saturday Night Live or Jon Stewart. And people were appalled by that. But somehow something's going on where youth and adults just aren't connecting.
Yeah, it scares Jon Stewart, too. It's not real news.
Yeah.
Is there a danger in that, though? I mean, come on now. Jon Stewart, I love watching it. I love what The Daily Show. It's funny. It always makes me laugh. I don't really watch the, you know, Jay Leno or those the other late night guys. I, you know, the reason I see The Daily Show is because they replay it in the course in the middle of the day.
Right.
But, is there a danger, or are young folks getting like a misconception of reality because they're getting news through a comedy channel, or are they able to filter out what's being said to be funny and what's serious about it?
You know, I think it's the latter. Someone just wrote an article that's on Wiretap right now talking about this issue, and they were saying how, in their opinion, this is a young person, he's 22, he feels that young people are smart enough to be cynical of the regular news, and they just don't relate to it. You know, it's not something they can take seriously. So they watch something like Jon Stewart, who's, yes, making fun of the news, but also giving an analysis of it. And to them, that's more stimulating.
So that author would probably be Russell Morse, I'll bet, huh?
Right.
I just knew that, actually. I'm looking at the article right here. Mm-hmm. We young people get our news wherever we can.
Right.
So young folks, they're looking at CNN, Fox, MSNBC, ABC, CBS, NBC, and all the rest of these major media cretins as just not being trustworthy and just being, you know, feeding sugar anyway, right?
Sure. I mean, especially if you look at what happened with the Iraq war and the weapons of mass destruction. I mean, how many of those news outlets were saying, oh, yes, you know, they did find weapons of mass destruction. And, yes, Saddam Hussein definitely had ties to al-Qaeda.
Right.
And now we're all realizing, wait a minute, that's not true.
That's interesting. Gene Chen, editor of Wiretap magazine with us, gracious enough to spend some time fill in a little bit of blanks here. I'm not that old. I'm 46 years old, but you know, it's already I'm falling in. I'm at the age there when I was 17. I used to look at people who are the age I am now. Well, they're old. I never want to get that old, but I got to tell you the truth. I'm glad I made it this far alive. Now, when people do get engaged, politically. Now, and I guess we really can't separate out that big social engagement that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, we don't really know. When they do get engaged politically, where do the young people go to? Are they conservative, liberal, independent? Are they some sort of fifth political ideology? What?
Right. I think it's a mix, once again. I mean, you definitely have people who are part of the Democratic Club on campus, or who are, you know, with the Green Party. I've had a good number of people who lean definitely way more to the left, who have been working on Dennis Kucinich's campaign, asking, you know, can they write about that? Can they talk about Dennis? At the same time, there are a lot of people who are Republicans on campus, and I think that right now on college campuses, there are actually a good number of conservatives who are pretty well organized.
So, well, what is it that, do you know what it is specifically that would draw a young person to being progressive or to being conservative or libertarian or whatever?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. No, I understand, by the way, some of the questions I'm asking here, you know, it'd be kind of hard. I'm looking for answers, too, because, you know, look, I know they're smart. I guess some of the background on why I get interested in this is I had a local talk show here in Vermont for several years. And one of the things I used to love to do was get the kids up from, well, I shouldn't say kids, the young folks up from the local high schools to talk about different issues sometimes, events other times. And I continually found out time and time again that these were really intelligent kids who gave a damn and were aware of the world around them. Yet I pick up the paper and you see these headlines, oh, the public school system sucks and the kids can't read and they can't write and they're all a bunch of drug addicts drinking booze all the time. And it's just such a, I don't know, it's so far, it's just so far, a, you know, distance from the truth as far as what I ran into. And, you know, it's, okay, so the big issues then, what would be whether somebody's a Republican or a conservative or a Democrat or a liberal, Green Party, whatever, what are the big issues? Are they social issues that the young folks look at? Are they more hardcore issues like financial? Are they foreign affairs? What do they look at?
Well, like I said, I think it's hard to say because youth are just so diverse and everyone's got their different issues. I mean, just like adults. And I think that's actually one of the things that the media tends to do is lump all youth together.
Right.
Which is actually, I feel, has been happening with a lot of the outreach to get youth to vote, where you look at things like Rock the Vote, and it's great. I think they've made a lot of efforts, but it's just sort of outreaching to youth as one lump mass, saying, yeah, okay, it's cool, go ahead and vote. And kids are looking like that. I mean, voting's cool, but what are the issues? What does that mean?
You know, it's a lot easier to market to them, though, if we can box them up into a package. Because that way, at least, we can really, you know, we can individualize our message to the people who we can put in a little box where we want them. So it's what would you say to any politician that wants to that's interested in getting young folks out to vote? I mean, what would you tell them to do?
Actually, listen to them. Maybe get some focus groups, have some youth who are working on their campaign, figure out what the issues are, you know, education, that kind of thing.
Anybody out there doing that right now?
Not that I've seen so far.
No, not Kucinich, Dean, Kerry, Edwards?
Actually, Kucinich does have a hip-hop advisor from what I understand.
Really?
But, yeah.
Somehow,
but what that translates into, I'm not sure. I don't know if that's gotten him more youth support.
Yeah. Well, it just could be, too, that they're just waiting to bide their time till they figure out what it is that they need to be voting on.
You know,
that was always the, I guess, the opinion I got from when I would talk to them over the years is that, you know, look, I'm like everybody else. When I feel it's important, I'll vote, thank you. Until then, get off my case, creep. all right. Off of the politics, then, we got a couple minutes here. What are the what are the young folks interested in, then, through your experience through Wiretap? What are the issues? Or I guess not the issues. What are the things about the world that get their attention?
From what I've seen, education, definitely, and just the priorities of, well, right now, the Bush administration to, say, spend billions of dollars to go to Mars, but leaving the public schools and universities in lurch, the environment, and also a lot of the issues surrounding corporate globalization.
Wow. Wait, now, where are they getting? I got to say, this is really great to hear because, in my mind, those are very, very important subjects, and they are ones that are going to literally determine, you know, whether humankind continues for you know, however long, or we end up doing ourselves in within 50 years or so. Where are they learning about the importance of those subjects, about the importance of environment, about the importance of some sort of control on the corporate process? Where are they getting this in school, from each other, from reading? Where?
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's in schools. Yeah, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, but they are getting it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're talking to Jean Chen, editor of Wiretap magazine. So you get people, and they're all from, what, under 25? What,
mm-hmm.
you said 16 to 24?
15 to 24.
15 to 24, mm-hmm. who contribute articles. Does anybody go through and do the editing for these guys, or?
That would be me.
That would be you. Mm-hmm. And what do you edit for now? When I read something mm-hmm. like when I read Russell Morris's column, we young people get our news wherever we can. All right, you edited it for what? Did you edit for content or just
right.
for appearance or what?
Well, actually, Russell's article came from Pacific News Service. They have a youth magazine called Youth Outlook, and
okay.
so that's actually a reprint from Youth Outlook. But
so
most of the other
example.
Articles, pardon?
I'm sorry, that's a horrible oh. example. Let's find one that isn't. All right. So go ahead.
Oh, but most of the other articles, I get freelancers writing for me, and they send their articles in. And yes, I'm checking for content as well as, you know, grammar and just making sure that it reads okay, fact-checking, that kind of stuff.
Okay, Jean, we're coming up on a commercial break, so I'm going to let you go. Thank you
okay,
very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time.
Sure.
Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. We will be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Veronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights? Priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with Georgian Pickles from the current issue of Ladies Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your tack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slipper.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom, who is in transit today. He will be back here bright, cheery, and chipper tomorrow. In the meantime, you've got me. And please say you like it. Please, you know what? Just, you know, as a matter of fact, don't even say you like it. Just mail me checks. Actually, I have a PayPal account if anybody just wants to, like, use their credit card and dump money into my bank account. That would be pretty cool, too. Hey, real quick, the George Bush's I Have a Lie Commission. I mean, right here in my greedy little grubby paws, I have the Executive Order Commission on the Intelligence Capabilities of the United States regarding weapons of mass destruction. Of course, this was introduced with tons and tons and tons of bro-hoo-ha by the Bush administration to pretend that they might sort of be kind of a little bit like trying to do something to figure out why the heck they lied to us about going to war. But as it turns out, this commission, which they told us was going to get to the heart of the matter, and everybody wanted to know, well, why did what you tell us be so different from reality? So Bush sets up this commission, and I just to read a few parts of it, word for word, out of the executive order here. Let's start with Section 1, Establishment. There is established within the executive office of the president for administrative purposes a commission on the intelligence capabilities of the United States regarding weapons of mass destruction. Did you get that? Established within the executive office of the president for administrative purposes. Sure sounds like they're going to share a lot with us. Section 2, mission. The commission is established for the purpose of advising the president. It starts. The commission is established for the purpose of advising the president? Wait a minute, I want to know why they lied about going to war in Iraq. So far it doesn't sound like we've got a commission that's going to talk to us at all. All right, if we head around to Section 5, Access to Information. Promptly upon commencing its work, the commission shall adopt after consultation with the... Get this. After consultation with the Secretary of Defense, the Attorney General, and the Director of Central Intelligence, rules and procedures. So, we're going to have rules and procedures set up by Rumsfeld and Ashcroft and Tenet on a commission that's here to advise the President of the United States? You think they're going to tell us why they lied about the war? I think they got it all set up. This order is only intended to improve the internal management
And Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. I'm going to be back. We've got a full hour. Got a whole lot of crap to get through.
I'll do that.
So will you.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. George W. Bush was absent for long periods of his final 2 years of National Guard duty, according to new records cited by the White House in an effort to refute accusations he shirked Vietnam War-era military obligations. The records, some of which had been previously released, were not fully legible and show long gaps in Bush's Guard service from May through late October 1972 and mid-January through early April 1973. The records allude that Bush earned service points and was paid for duty in late October and November of 1972, but officials still could not specify which dates he served in Alabama. They also could not explain the huge gap in 1973. An evaluation report from superiors in Texas said Bush had not been observed from April 1972 to May 1973. The heaviest guard service in his last 2 years came in July of 1973, when he was paid for 19 days. Conservative television news anchor Bill O'Reilly said on Tuesday he was now skeptical about the Bush administration and apologized to viewers for supporting pre-war claims that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. The anchor on Fox News said he was sorry he gave the United States government the benefit of the doubt that former Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's weapons program posed an imminent threat, which was the main reason cited for going to war. I was wrong. I am not pleased about it at all, and I think all Americans should be concerned about this, O'Reilly said in an interview with the ABC network. Vice President Dick Cheney's political future was at stake yesterday in Washington, where a grand jury investigation was questioning administration officials about his office's role in leaking the name of a CIA operative for political motives. The inquiry has already questioned the president's spokesman and one of his media advisors over the identification of Valerie Plame, which is developing into one of the administration's main headaches in an election year. Informed sources said last night that three of the five officials who are the real targets of the probe work or worked for Mr. Cheney. Until recently, George W. Bush has insisted that Mr. Cheney would be his vice presidential candidate in the November elections, despite his history of heart trouble.
More after the
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
An Australian man attacked by a small shark swam 300 meters, walked to his car, and drove to a local surf club to get help while the shark was still attached to his leg. The Wobbegong, or so-called carpet shark, attacked 22-year-old Luke Trusselglavik yesterday as he was snorkeling on a reef off Caves Beach south of Newcastle. Once I got onto shore, a couple of people tried to help me, but I could not remove it. It was stuck there, he said, so he got into his car and drove to the clubhouse where two lifeguards removed the creature. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Ah, good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Michael Powell is the kind of guy who would have rooted for Goliath over David. In fact, if Powell's performance as head of the Federal Communications Commission is any indicator, he would have even given the slingshot to the giant. Throughout his tenure at the FCC, Powell has pushed to unregulate the media giant's use of our public airwaves and to eliminate any restrictions on how much of our nation's media any one conglomerate can control. Already, only five of these conglomerates, Disney, Viacom, GE, Time Warner, and News Corp, control the five largest TV networks, 70% of the primetime television market, most cable channels, and extensive holdings in radio, publishing, movies, records, and the Internet. But that's not enough for Powell and the Bush White House. Last June, they pushed through the FCC a plan that essentially would take the lid off of media ownership rules. In your city, for example, one conglomerate could own three television stations, the local newspaper, and as many as eight radio stations. In my state of Texas, the rules would allow any two conglomerates to take over nearly half of the state's commercial TV stations, all of the major newspapers, and 40% of the radio stations. With such ownership comes control of the news, information, and cultural expressions that we get. It's not a matter of the fox being in the hen house. The fox would own the hen house. That's why more than 2 million Americans sent letters and emails to protest the FCC's rules, and why several groups have obtained a court injunction to stop the rules from taking effect until court review. Powell's FCC is now holding a series of hokey hearings around the country to let people vent. But the only real change we're going to get will be through the courts, Congress, and the presidential race. It's not only our public airwaves that are at risk, but democracy itself. This is Jim Hightower saying, to get information and fight back, call Common Cause, 202-833-1200.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Well, actually, here's Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. He's on his way back to the wonderful world of the Northeast in his fantastic little studio I get to work out of here. I get the chance today to sit behind the good old working-class stainless steel microphone. And Tom Hartman Show, of course, being brought to you by Small Dog Electronics at 1-800-511-MAX, 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. And, okay, let's start hitting into this stuff. As the man said, by the way, you want to get in on the conversation, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. God, I wish you people would just write that stupid number down. All right? Yeah. No. It's your job to tell us. Okay. Before we get into other things here. I just want to make mention. I don't know how many people this is important to, but it's important to me. This is from CNN. Rover sets distance record on Mars. The Spirit Rover shattered. It shattered a one-day distance record on Mars, rolling nearly 70 feet across the planet's rocky surface, NASA said Tuesday. That's kind of cool. I mean, I know people who are going to say there's other things we could be spending money on. I think personally, spending the money to have two little radio-operated cars on the Martian surface is probably money well spent, that it would be penny wise and pound foolish to not keep exploring places. But I go to the NASA website. They have a site specifically for the two rovers, and you can see all the latest pictures and stuff. It helps if you have a good internet, good speedy internet. But even if you don't, it's still some really it's just fun to look at Mars's surface. I don't know why. Maybe someday we'll get to look at a picture and there'll be something with three eyes peering down at the rover going, baby. You know, sure. Beam me up, Scotty. All right. Okay, let me scare you a little bit, because good Mr. Greenspan apparently has said the economy is set for a vigorous growth. He was giving testimony. Let me see. I don't see anything. No, Janet. No mention of Janet Jackson in here. Just talking about the economy. But before I do, there's a site called CFO.com, and bills itself as Tools and Resources for Financial Officers. Very good, legitimate site. Carries a lot of news that it would be of specific interest, of course, to financial officers and companies. And this is, they have a thing, you know, where they kind of all the news that you might have missed, and they put it up. I think it's a weekly deal. And this is one from January 6th, 2004. U.S. executives and officers are apparently more actively selling than buying. The value of sales has exceeded purchases by at least 20 to 1 for the past 8 months, according to Bloomberg. On 11 of the 16 times that happened, the stock market declined 6 months later, according to the wire service, citing Lon Gerber, Thomson's financial director of Insider Research. In fact, selling increased for the first time since 2000, when tech and internet stocks peaked, before all but vaporizing. Okay. Just want to throw that. I don't know what it means. I don't know. Look, would the Bush administration lie to us about the economy? Come on. You don't think for a second Bush would lie to us about the economy. In the meantime here, Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said today, yes, today, the U.S. economy has turned the corner toward vigorous growth, but that policymakers can be patient about interest rate rises, though not forever. In other words, he'll just keep on making sure that they print out more and more money and just keep throwing more money out. You know, we have a you might wonder where all this newly created money. Now, I don't want to go into a whole treatise, because especially for radio, dealing with the manufacture of money can be an awful bland subject. But in essence, what it boils down to, all that debt we had from last year, $400 billion or whatever the heck it was, that essentially became newly created money. That was minus actually not the Social Security taxes and stuff, though. That was money that was collected and then sent back out. The $300 billion of last year's debt that was non-Social Security, Medicare-type money, was all newly created money. So you had several hundred billion dollars worth of newly created. That's what happens when you go, you borrow money from a bank. I bought my house. They didn't hand me this big envelope full of tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars, you know. We kind of did an electronic transfer, and no money, but the money was created. All they needed to do to back up all that money they lent me was to have a fraction of it behind. So every time you take out a loan like this, including the government, you literally create money. That's the process. You don't have to believe me. Go down to your local banker and say, gee, does borrowing money create money? And they'll tell you, because it's a well-known fact. So we've had all this extra money flowing into the economy. And we just keep getting to borrow more and more. And there's been the sponge. There's one of two things happens when you get a whole lot of extra money out there. You either have a sponge that can soak it up, or prices rise because everybody's got all this money and we're all pursuing all these goods. Well, actually, there's been two sponges soaking up the money for us. One sponge has been the stock market. You know, this great rise in stock prices, and it's not coincidental that it comes along with humongous debt under the circumstances that we're dealing with. There's consumer debt. There's the public debt. There's corporate debt. Everybody's in debt right now in the United States of America. Well, just about everybody. There's a couple people maybe that aren't, okay? So we've all borrowed money. We've spent all the cash we've been handed. We've borrowed more money. We borrowed for the car. We remortgaged a house. You know, we borrowed for the new refrigerator, for the stereo, for the kids' college. And, you know, then we spent our paycheck on more stuff. The stock market's been soaking up a lot of that. But so, too, has also all these cheap goods that have been able to come into the country from overseas been soaking up a lot of that extra money. And Alan Greenspan is telling us, well, this is okay. This is okay because as you soak up all this more money, we'll just keep printing more money because we're not going to raise the interest rates to make it harder to get hold of the money. We're going to keep it easy, and we're going to just keep printing more and more money, and we're going to keep putting out there. Now, who's getting the money? If you go back and you look at all the figures, most of the people that are doing really well are in the upper 20% or so. As you watch the mean income, the median income in the U.S., and you start looking at the poor people who start to fall well below the median, which is halfway, they're not doing any good. As a matter of fact, they're getting shellacked right now because down at the lower end is where we're seeing the real inflation because at the lower end, you're not out buying a lot of stock. Sure, you're going to Walmart and buying a lot of plastic Chinese slave labor type goods. But what you're not doing, you're not going out buying a whole lot of stocks, which is what the rich people are doing. And so dollar-wise, their value is going up, 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 up right now, which kind of pretends to look good. At the lower end, I want to tell you right now, this time of year, I'm used to paying about $1.20, $1.30 for home heating oil fuel. My house uses heating oil for heating. We just paid the other week about $1.90-something a gallon for home heating oil. We were told to expect, if we have to get another delivery, to expect it at $2 per barrel for home heating oil. So inflation, you want to talk about inflation, that's going up from when I started this winter at about $1 a gallon. Okay, so inflation for me is one heck of a big deal. Now, imagine if you're an older person and you depend on medical care a lot. Okay? And you're sitting there, you're an older person in a home that uses heating oil for heat, and you depend on medical care for a lot of your, you know, to take care of yourself, keep yourself alive, keep yourself comfortable, healthy, whatever. Medical costs. You can go check the figures depending on where you look and what you're looking at. Insurance rates, 5, 8, 10%, 15%, medical costs, 10% and up. So they're not only paying those much higher prices for the heating oil, but these older folks also are paying much higher medical costs. That's called inflation. And it's not an inflation that their income is keeping up with because they're not part of the people whose extra money is being absorbed by the stock market pretending to drive up the value of the stock market. These are people sitting at the bottom that are getting shafted because they're usually on fixed incomes. And basically, if they all went around and said, gee, I can take all my retirement money out of the stock market, look how it's going, everybody would be trying to sell, and you'd see the prices probably drop. But that's okay, because Alan Greenspan says that the picture has brightened, and after a prolonged period of subpar growth, following, incidentally, he says the 2001 recessions. He doesn't buy into this Bush BS about the 2000 recession. As always, the Fed chief couched his comments carefully but offered a fairly stern warning about government deficits. right? His remarks are sure to be carefully sifted, But he always puts in this warning about deficits. He never says, hey, look, let's be fiscally responsible and raise enough money to pay for what it is we're buying. You know, the answer of the conservative, the modern-day conservative economic theologist, is the answer to deficits is not to earn more money. The answer to deficits is to spend less, which is fine. But if you're sitting in a family where you have to pay car payments and you have kids that you have to raise and you want to feed your family and yourself and you might have a dog or two running around, you got property taxes, you've got medical bills that you're probably going to have to pay, and oh yes, that heating oil. And you can't afford to take a lower paying job to spend less. But this is what the government would have us believe that it is, including Greenspan. He's saying that essentially if we cut back on spending, we can save the economy. But it becomes a question of who do we save the economy for, Mr. Greenspan? And I know Tom's gone over this and Bernie's gone over this, Bernie Sanders. He'll be back on Tom's show again, I'm sure, to do it some more. But you got to understand when the point I'm trying to get at here, when Alan Greenspan sits down in front of Congress and gives you this rosy picture about the economy, he's not talking about you. He's talking about rich people. When I say rich people, I mean rich people. Hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars a year in income. He's not talking about the people in the bottom half that actually have to pay for everything. So the economy isn't necessarily looking better. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. You'll be all right back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Had to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
People get mad. There's a train you're calling. You don't need no baggage. You just feel
all right, I could listen to that song, sure, but what the heck. I'm Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman is on his way back to his homestead here, and he's going to steal back his studio from me. That's too bad. I'm having a good time here. This is the Tom Hartman Program, where despair is not an option. Get active. And, well, I'm going to be active here. And Mark in Dallas, you want to make a comment on the economy. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing well today. How you doing?
Doing great.
Great. There's an author that's recently published a book that I've heard interviewed twice now, and the book is called Perfectly Legal. It's done by a journalist called David K. Johnston.
Right.
And his specialty is the U.S. tax system. He's actually won a couple of Pulitzer Prizes on his reporting. But the point that he makes very convincingly is that the myth created by the right wing is that somehow the rich are not paying their fair share. And we have to clarify the rich. The rich is basically anybody over about $300,000 a year.
Yeah.
And he goes to great pains to prove that that is not a the truth. In fact, that the rich are not paying their fair share, and they are purposely designing the tax system to undermine the middle class by transferring more and more taxes to the middle class via, you know, higher payroll taxes, higher real estate taxes, et cetera, et cetera,
while they're
paying a smaller share.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and what they do it in a real sneaky way, too, don't you think, Mark, in that they say they collect the taxes from the rich people, and they say, well, look at all the income tax they're paying, and then they give them all of these ways to get the taxes back through business discounts, through, you know, various write-off schemes that aren't accessible to poorer folks and all, right?
Right. And I like to distill it down for people into a very simple statement.
Okay.
You hear the right wing say, well, the rich are taxed too much. Well, I like to say, well, if the rich are taxed too much and the poor are taxed too little, then why has the income disparity in this country continued to grow?
Or maybe we should be taxing the poor more to make them rich. How's about that?
Well, that's what the rich would like you to believe.
All right. Hey, thanks
Take
a lot,
care,
Mark.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate your comments. Have a great day. that is kind of silly. Hey, and the chat room. You want to go to the chat room? Bunch of smart people. Well, smart-ass people there anyway. Go to TomHartman.com. Click on chat over there. Or if you want to go to the message board available 24/12. You go to TomHartman.com and click on message board. Hey, pretty darn convenient. But somebody actually, I guess I just need to, yes, Trish, I was referring to you. I guess we need to deal with Bill O'Reilly actually lived up to his word, sort of, kind of like, I guess. I don't know why you want to style. I'll spend a couple minutes on this simply because I guess it's just like O'Reilly had said about a year ago that if they didn't find any weapons of mass destruction, he'd apologize. And I guess he went on, well, I forget, ABC. I didn't see it. I've only seen a couple quick blurbs. He went on and apologized and said he doesn't trust the Bush administration. which is good as far as it goes. And it's quite possible that somebody like O'Reilly saying, look, I don't trust these people anymore, could have an actual effect across the country. It's no longer, you know, angry, elitist, whiny liberals like me that are saying I don't trust Bush now. It's angry, elitist, whiny conservatives like O'Reilly. But the one thing that I was kind of sorry to see is that he did not hold Bush accountable. He said he didn't think it was Bush's fault. Last time I checked, and I could be wrong, but if I look at like an organizational chart of the administration branch of the United States of America, is I think kind of at the top there is where it says president, and it doesn't make any difference whether you're a pretend president or a real one. It just says president. Okay. So how can Bush be so absolutely dead wrong in his freaking decision? Diametrically opposite of what the facts bear out, and not hold him directly responsible. You know, responsibility, it really has meaning. And so do you and I. So we're not done yet. You will be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Some glaciers in South America are melting rapidly. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The southern end of South America is covered by an expanse of glaciers known as the Patagonian Ice Fields. The glaciers stretch from Chile's Pacific coast over the Andes Mountains and into Argentina. New research shows that they're melting, and they're melting faster than any other mountain glaciers on Earth. Eric Rignot is a glaciologist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. He studies the South American glaciers using data that was collected from space and information collected at ground level. Rignot says the glaciers are getting much thinner, and the top surface of some glaciers is lower today than in the past. The evidence includes marks on cliffs that were left by scientists who studied the glaciers years ago. They used paint to mark where they were standing, and today the marks are way up in the air.
Some of these glaciers experienced tremendous thinning in the past 25 years. We don't even need high technology to see that. For instance, on the San Rafael Glacier in the Northern Ice Field, we conducted a field survey and we're looking for paint markers left by a Japanese expedition in 85. We had a hard time finding those paint markers because they were sitting about 50 meters above our heads on the cliff.
Rignot says the marks showed where the glacier was in 1985, and since then the glacier has melted down 150 feet. The Patagonian ice is still more than a mile thick in some places, but satellite data show that it's thinning much faster than glaciers in other mountains around the world. The water that runs off the glaciers ends up in the ocean and makes a small contribution to rising sea levels every year. That contribution has been going on for decades, and it has grown larger in recent years. The research by Rignot and his colleagues was published last October in the journal Science. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org. or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Okay, welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. Rama Schneider sitting in for Tom, who is on his way back to the wonderful northeastern lands of, you know, the bastion of liberalism or whatever the heck we are. I think we're more independent and kind of libertarian. Even a lot of liberals tend to get libertarian up here. Whew, what a nasty word. Anyway. Hey, Tom Hartman Radio Program being brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, that's 1-800-511-6227, and the Organic Wine Company at 1-888-ECO-WINE, that's 1-888-ECOWINE. And I shouldn't say that, actually, I have a libertarian streak in me, too. It's just not all the way through and through. Yeah, I want to get to this stuff here, but I'm going to tell you about it and put it aside. From Common Dreams today, federal authorities retreated Tuesday in their investigation of an Iowa anti-war demonstration, withdrawing grand jury subpoenas delivered last week to four peace activists and Drake University. And also Tuesday, the federal judge lifted a gag order on Drake, where employees had been ordered not to discuss an inquiry into the meeting of the anti-war activists held November 15th. And federal authorities had asked for records of the campus chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, which hosted the anti-war conference, and for the impressions campus police had of the gathering. So, temporarily, and this is the thing, don't take a deep breath and go, ah, we got by that one. Look, these guys, let me tell you, these guys are fascist pigs about this stuff. They're just waiting in the wings for us to look the other way. And as soon as we're out there doing something different, like maybe having sex, which liberals have a want to do for some reason, you know, they'll be back in there jumping all over everybody with an ugly stick. Matter of fact, they'll probably come back and do it under the Patriot Act so that they don't even have to bother telling anybody anymore. So anyway, here's some news that you probably haven't been overly informed about. Federal law enforcement officials said they have developed hard evidence of possible criminal misconduct by two employees of Vice President Dick Cheney's office related to the unlawful exposure of a CIA officer's identity last year. The investigation, which is continuing, could lead to indictments, a Justice Department official said. Now, this is from Insight News on February 17th. It's an article by Richard Sale, Cheney's staff focus of probe. According to these sources, John Hanna and Cheney Chief of Staff Lewis Scooter Libby were the two Cheney employees. Quote, we believe that Hanna was the major player in this, unquote, one federal law enforcement officer said. Calls to the vice president's office were not returned, nor did Hanna and Libby return calls. And the case, of course, centers on Valerie Plame and the shameless outing and just generally traitorous actions by apparently the vice president's office, and not to mention our fun-loving editorialist. What the hell is his name with the ghoulish eyes, you know? He's got those dark circles around his eyes. He sits there in crossfire. Robert Novak. Yes, sir. Hey, you know, he's being charged with assault. Yeah, it's funny. I think it's great. Yeah, he thought he could beat up somebody. Well, I guess he could beat the guy up, but he's going to go for assault. So anyway, we have Cheney's office, and you know, this has got to go up to the, this has got to reach Bush's office too. But we have Cheney's office, of course, with people being named as prime suspects in the traitorous outing of Valerie Plame. From Common Dreams, Senate Democrats who were briefed Monday about an investigation into how Democratic strategy memorandums dealing with judicial nominations ended up in the hands of the Republican staff members said they now believe the problem was far more extensive than previously thought. Now, I don't want to read the whole article here, but it bears, if you have internet access, go to commondreams.org. and read the article, Democrats suggest inquiry points to wider spying by GOP. In other words, these guys, these clowns from the Republican, these criminals, these creeps, these felons, these slimeballs, these liars, these cheats, these Republicans, you know, they've been hacking and breaking into Democrat computers. If you and I did it, there's laws that cover that. It's illegal to gain unlawful entry to another person's computer. You know? But they fired this guy, Miranda. One senior Republican staff member, Manuel C. Miranda, talk about the Miranda warning, huh, has already resigned as a senior advisor to the Senate Republican leader, Bill Frist of Tennessee. Another criminal, huh, Frist? Mr. Miranda acknowledged that he had read many of the documents, but said that he had not given them to the news media. Well, no, you got people who work for you that do that, right? Mr. Miranda, who could not be reached for comment on Monday, has filed an ethics complaint with the Senate, asserting that the memorandums demonstrated, quote, public corruption by the Democrats. He said they showed a violation of the public trust in the judicial confirmation process on the part of Democratic senators on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Well, how about that we just kind of decide to charge Mr. Miranda with whatever, any one of the number of laws that deal with hacking into other people's computers? How about the Republican leadership step up and take responsibility for all the criminals that they have working for them? Of course, maybe, you know, a criminal hates to turn in another criminal sort of thing. So, you look down in Washington, of course, the bribery. What's that? Billy Tozzi from, Louisiana, representative from Louisiana. He's a Republican, of course. Crook, criminal, liar, drooling with venom and, probably kicks little kids on his way home when nobody's looking. I don't know. Anyway, Billy Tozzi, of course, is, he's helped write that Medicare scam bill, which is just going to funnel more of our hard-earned tax dollars over to really big medical and pharmaceutical corporations. And he's going to head off to go, as Bernie Sanders was telling us even just last week, Tozzi's going to head off and go work for one of these companies, maybe even pharma, you know, what's that? It's the pharmaceuticals research and whatever group, the association they represent the various pharmaceutical companies and do a lot of lobbying and stuff for them. Billy Tozzi's going to go off to a fat-paying job with somebody like that. No problem. I'll write the law and then I'll go work for you and, we'll make sure the law makes it so I can work for you really well. But that's okay. Who was that? Smith from Michigan. Representative Smith gets offered a $100,000 bribe on the floor of the House. On the floor of the House, no less. I mean, they didn't even have the decency to offer this bribe in the cloakroom or under the guise of a political donation. They just went out on the, and this is according to what Mr. Smith himself said on the radio and wrote in an op-ed piece, was that, you know, he was offered substantial sums of money for his son's campaign. To replace him, if he would just vote for the bill. That's called bribery. Now, why isn't he being hauled in front of a grand jury to tell a grand jury who the hell offered him the bribe on the floor of the House? But it doesn't matter. This is why we have to get rid of these people. They lie. We know they lie. You don't have to look any further than this whole Iraq fiasco to know they lie. We know they lie about about where the tax cuts are going. We know they lie about their environmental policies. And they cheat outrightly. And you look at how they cheat. Now, I mean, there was the redistricting in Texas, right? How about the recall in California? You know, they're trying that same maneuver. Our government is funneling money down to Venezuelan groups to help them try to recall Hugo Chavez, a democratically elected president. Of course, he won't toe little Georgie's line, so that's why they do that. I don't know. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. So, I don't know. Just what do you do with all these criminals? Do we have enough jails for them is what I'm wondering about. Let's see. They've decided to drop for now these subpoenas for all this personal information. about the activists, as I said, out in Iowa. The federal investigation became public last week when a Polk County sheriff's deputy identifying himself as a member of the FBI Joint Terrorism Task Force delivered several subpoenas. And facing growing concern, the U.S. attorney in Des Moines, Stephen Patrick O'Meara, took the unusual step Monday of acknowledging the secret grand jury investigation. See, they were already trying to approach anti-war protesters. What these people were gathering to do was go protest the use of the Iowa National Guard over in Iraq. And so what the government has done, as opposed to engaging in open and honest debate, which apparently is beyond their capacity nowadays, they launched a massive investigation trying to sweep up all sorts of information about anybody and everybody who was involved. They used as an excuse, the government to go after these people at Iowa, they used an excuse that somebody was trying to climb a fence, but we find out that Polk County authorities agree with demonstrators' assertions that no one tried to scale a fence. That's what they originally were saying. They had to know this information because somebody tried to scale a fence. Now, that's horrible. Trying to scale a fence. That should be a felony, huh? The only arrest that appeared to come close to fitting O'Meara's description was that of Elton Davis, one of the subpoenaed activists. He was charged with trespass, and Davis denied he crossed an official boundary, instead saying he simply walked up to a gate, asked to speak to a commanding officer, and apparently the guy who was guarding the gate almost fell down laughing. And court papers say Davis was arrested after he entered into federal property. So we've really got to keep an eye on this one, because if you close your eyes and you blink, they'll be right back at it again. And here's a question. You know what? Reading all this stuff, here's a question for you. And this is for all you Deniacs, all you Kuciniacs, and all you Clarkiacs, and all you Kerryacs, and all you Kayaks, and whoever else out there. Does anybody know of any presidential candidate who has said that he will stop these Gestapo-like tactics of the federal government? Or are they all running away from this one? They're afraid to touch it. Hot potato. Kind of like if Dean makes his comments on, like when Dean said the bit about, yeah, he would look into breaking up the large media monopolies on Chris Matthews' Hardball. All of a sudden, he started getting dumped on. Could it be these guys are really afraid of going after full bore, going after the Patriot Act? You know, over 100 cities have passed resolutions condemning the Patriot Act. Big cities, too, across the country. More Bush cover-up here. The 9/11 panel apparently is going to accept a summary of security briefings the Bushies got regarding the 9/11 panel, of course, is supposed to be this nonpartisan, nonpolitical panel that was given the authority to look into the events that led up to the attacks of September 11, 2001, and what went wrong and what went right. And they've been having a lot of trouble getting information out of the Bush administration, and even lately, you know, people were talking about trying to get an extension on how long the panel could stay going. But so now, rather than an extension, the independent commission investigating the September 11 attacks has backed away from a threatened legal showdown with the White House, agreeing to accept a 17-page summary of the presidential briefing documents it had sought. In other words, this is another case. This is kind of like Governor Schwarzenegger there, Herr Gruppenführer of California, you know, investigating himself, as George Bush and the Bushies are going to investigate them and report their findings to the 9/11 panel, so the 9/11 panel can, you know, read what the Bushes want them to read, as opposed to actually investigating and finding out information on their own. All right, on that note, let's go to Billy from California. How you doing, Billy?
How you doing today?
Doing great.
Well, our country's in a lot of trouble, but it looks like we can beat this guy.
Which guy?
Bush.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. How? Why?
Well, I think it's becoming real obvious that if the Bush administration was a film, it would be called Secrets and Lies. And you know what I think is sort of interesting, and it shines a light on everything that we're doing in America today, is I heard someone say on radio recently that it's that America needs to get in touch with shame again, and that we should feel so much shame about that 1 second of breast that we saw during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, he's right about the first part. We should have a sense of shame, but we should be ashamed that we spent so much time talking about a breast and not talking about the fact that this current regime wants to change the Constitution and ensure bigotry?
Yeah.
Have we ever, has anyone ever taken a beautiful document like that and then tried to put hatred and take rights away with it?
Billy, you make an excellent point, and I want to thank you for the call. We're running down on time, though. We do have some other callers here, so I want to thank you for your time. And you're right. We do need a sense of shame, but about really important things and not Janet Jackson's right breast, although I love talking about it. Nothing gives me more joy. Roberta Santa Fe, how you doing?
Hey, I'm extraordinary and improving, and so are you.
Thank you.
A couple questions I wanted to ask you along the lines of electoral process. You read Shire's Rise and Fall of the Third Reich.
Yes.
And I don't know, you remember where he mentions that the Weimar Republic had the most democratic constitution in the Western world up to that point. And I was just wondering, you know, you can get the fascist out of the White House, but can you get fascism out of the country that easily? You raised the point yourself when you said, what candidate is talking about getting rid of these domestic fascist policies, as well as the foreign incursions that have been, you know, rampant since we dropped the big one. You know, as a woman, I feel I don't have anyone to really represent me. And I think if we had proportional representation in the parliament like they do somewhat in England, do you think that would help get rid of fascism? How can we do it?
Well, I don't know, Roberta. That's a good question, and let's all mull it over here while we listen to some important commercial information. I got to let you go here. We're coming up on a hard break. And how do we actually root fascism out of our country? Rama in for Tom Hartman.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't.
But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court, Sundays 9 to 11 on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Rama Schneider, sitting in for Tom, who is in transit. He will be back with everybody tomorrow. Call Congress, 202-224-3121. I mean, that's a hell of a bumper line, huh? But he's got it there, so I said it. Anyway, Tom Hartman Show being brought to you, Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX. That's 1-800-511-6227. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE, 1-888-ECOWINE. And on the board, helping me make it through the day, help me make it through the show, is Char Jones, who does an absolutely fantastic job. And, you know, all she needs is like one of these mechanical fists to punch me in the side of the face when I start to sing or tell a dumb joke. Just a few tidbits I want to run through before we call it a day for now. From the Moscow Times, OPEC agrees to oil limit cut. The Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries on Tuesday agreed to a surprise cut in oil output limits from April, aiming to prevent a price slump as winter fuel demand wanes, an OPEC delegate says. So, you know, oh, goody, I can look forward to more $2 a gallon home heating fuel. That's wonderful. Hey, you know those horrible judges up in Massachusetts there? You know, God, they're terrible, aren't they? 6 out of 7 of those Massachusetts Supreme Court justices who said that the Massachusetts Constitution, not the U.S., the Massachusetts Constitution required equal treatment for people regardless of their sexual orientation. 6 out of 7 of them were appointed by Republicans. Chief Justice Margaret Marshall was appointed by Republican Governor Weld, Roderick Ireland, Republican Governor Weld, Judith Cohen, Republican Governor Cellucci, Francis Spina, Republican Governor Cellucci, Martha Sausman, Republican Governor Cellucci, Robert Cordy, Republican Governor Cellucci, and then we have John M. Greeney, who was named by, 89, by Democrat Michael S. Dukakis. So, seems like the Republicans actually do appreciate equal rights after all. Here's another little bit here. Nearly two-thirds, 64% of physicians favor single-payer national health insurance, far more than support managed care or fee-for-service care, according to a Harvard Medical School study published today in the Archives of Internal Medicine. Two-thirds of physicians favor single-payer national health insurance. Okay, there is hope for the world. How do we get the fascism out? Raise your children well and vote. Rama Schneider in for Tom Hartman. Everyone have a truly, truly wonderful day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey, here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.